The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hour 3 of the Mark Davis Show, 9:08 here in, what, coming up on 9:09 here in North Texas. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis, and I want to hear from you at 866-660-5759, also via the Patriot Mobile text line, same number, 866-660-5759. Three things on the floor, Donald Trump's legal woes, the breakdown of the rule of law, which we let that continue to its logical conclusion, will solve the immigration problem. Nobody will want to come here anymore. Also, the government now, the government, not even the government you elected, the government that you pay for with your tax dollars, the unelected bureaucrats who are there when Republicans are in charge and when Democrats are in charge, the bureaucracy is always there. Politicians come and go. Bureaucrats at the EPA are going to force you, because they are going to remove the choice, to buy an electric vehicle, whether you want one or not. How do you feel about the government deciding what it is that you do, your consumer choices versus you? And also the bonus question today, if money's no object, where are you going on vacation? Summer vacation coming up. Money's no object. You can do anything you want. What's on your summer vacation agenda if you can just go anywhere and do anything? 866-660-5759. And by the way, an update on the breaking news of this morning. I just, for the first time, got to see the video of that cargo ship hitting the support of the Francis Scott Key Bridge the port of Baltimore in Maryland. Nothing subtle about it. The bridge just comes instantly down. Now, six people unaccounted for. Maryland governor says no timeline for reopening the very important port of Baltimore. That's the latest on that story. Meanwhile, the latest is on this story and on this show is you on the phone at 866-660-5759. Africa, a person, not a place. Listening in Tennessee, that is a place. You're the lead-off caller for the hour. Africa, what is on your mind?
Thank you, sir, for taking my call. These three issues quickly. One, you keep using the word we. Identify who is causing the problem, okay? People don't know who is we when they go to vote. The second thing is, I don't think that Republicans are making enough effort, as a matter of fact, no effort in bringing the black votes, okay? They have thousands of reasons to convince black votes to vote for Republicans, not Democrats, okay? The third is, why do commentators like you keep using the word liberals, left, conservative, right? Nobody knows who you're talking about when they go to vote. I can bet you 90% of Americans, if not more, don't know what you're talking about. When they go to vote, they all see Republican and Democrats and maybe sometimes liberals, okay? Independent. So my point is this. There is something important about a name. If you don't attach the proper name to an issue, you're confusing people. So I will beg you and your friends to stop using generic words like we. Who knows? You said when you were talking to the congresswoman, if we don't stop this, no. Say, if Democrats don't stop destroying America, America is gone. You use proper names to attach to a problem. Who is causing the problem? If somebody commits a crime, we don't go to jail. We don't go to trial. The person goes to trial. If somebody wins a trophy, we don't win a trophy. The person by name. won a trophy. So, I mean, I don't know why that is so hard for
okay.
you guys to do. Identify who is causing the problem. The party, Democrats or Republicans, no more Whigs, no more liberals, no more left, right, conservative. Nobody knows what we're talking about.
Okay, well, let me you raised some pretty interesting things here, Africa. I mean, let me kind of take them somewhat in order. When I say we, when I use the word we, I'm talking we as Americans. If we as Americans hold on. Let me finish. If we as a society allow these things to continue, we are going to lose that which made us great. So I'm saying, when I say we, when I was talking to Beth Van Dyne, Congresswoman, I say we, I meant we on the right, we who support conservative causes and largely support Republicans to be elected to defend those conservative causes. But I'll take your argument. I'll take your point. You know, the problem is not even a lot of Democrats. The problem is the far left fringe of the Democratic Party having hijacked the party.
No, there is no party called the far left. That's the problem.
Yes, but the party is composed. The party is composed like any organization is composed of people, and they're not monolithic. They're not. It's not a group of people who all believe exactly
right
the
now,
same thing.
Okay, I want you to listen to CNN, MSNBC, blah blah blah. They don't use those words. They use socialist Republican. They blame Republicans directly. So when people
okay,
go to
all right.
As a matter of fact, the most important point is this. The Republicans need to make a better effort, much, much, much better effort in bringing black votes. If black folks, when I talk to black people and explain to them why we're having problems with having black communities all over the world, they are shocked. They don't know.
Well, let me play you a piece of audio from a rally in 2016 in Michigan with Donald Trump. And here's what he was said talking to a group of black voters. Here's what he said.
Look how much African-American communities have suffered under Democratic control. To those I say the following. What do you have to lose by trying something new like Trump? What do you have to lose?
I loved that moment, Africa, and I agree with you that Republicans have basically written off the black vote for a generation or more. Cycle after cycle, Republicans simply concede the black vote to the Democratic Party, and I think that is a mistake. I think Republicans have a real story to tell to black voters who have been taken for granted by the Democratic Party since at least the early 1960s. Who have been counted on to vote for Democrats to solve all their problems. Their problems haven't been solved by Democrats. Democrats forget about them as soon as the election is over and don't remember them again until it's time to start campaigning again. So you raise an incredibly good point, Africa. Very good one.
Sir, please do me a favor. When you do your show, once a week, do an hour show on why blacks should stop voting for Democrats. Look at the crimes, look at education, look at family values, look at Christian church, look at morality, look at all those things. Use that to address black, tell them where their problems are coming from. Donald Trump just made a generic reference. Yes, that's good, but break it down. Okay, you can't even do business in black families because of the crime rate. Okay.
And Democrats said defund the police, and the first people to suffer, when the police are underfunded, when the police can't do their job, the first people to suffer are people in black neighborhoods. The first.
Amen. Use that for me. Do me a favor and do the world a favor. Okay. Once every week, 1 hour show. Do that and see what happens in November.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't disagree with you, Africa. I'll tell you this, every Republican politician ought to be showing up in black churches, ought to be showing up in black neighborhoods, ought to be actively campaigning and saying to black voters, you have been betrayed by the Democratic Party long enough.
Hey, you have a bigger bullhorn than I do. I'm just, I've been here for 40 years, and I love America. God bless America. This is the last bus stop. If America is destroyed, the world is destroyed. Slavery continues. God bless you, sir. God bless America. Thank you, sir.
And God bless you, Africa. Appreciate your call. 866-660-5759. We got time for one more. Cindy in Dallas, you're next on the Mark Davis Show. What say you?
Oh, good morning. I've been enjoying your show so much this morning.
Well, thank you.
But I wanted to address the EV controversy I haven't. I have a great example where consumers actually made their own choice without the government intervention, and every single citizen in this United States can relate to this. Think of when we all just had landlines, and then eventually the cell phone was introduced, but people weren't buying into it much because it was very cumbersome, very expensive. Then as time went on, it became smaller. You could put it in a pocket, you could put it in your purse, and it eventually became more and more affordable to everybody. Now, everybody, no matter what socioeconomic background you have, owns a cell phone. If the government had mandated that, it would have been such a burden on most of the people in this country. And that's exactly the way the EVs go. It's got to be consumer demand. It cannot be government demand. The cell phone is the perfect example.
Cindy, you are absolutely right. Let me give you an example of another one. One of the aspects of the American economy that is totally screwed up is healthcare. The healthcare, the way we pay for healthcare and the whole subject of healthcare is a source of unbelievable amounts of contention and wasted time and money. But here's an example where the marketplace worked. Your private insurance and Medicare don't pay for LASIK surgery. That is something, if you're nearsighted or farsighted and you don't want to wear glasses anymore and you want to fix it surgically, you go get LASIK surgery. LASIK surgery, when it started out, it was a great advertising category because I own radio stations and laser eye surgeons were spending a lot of money because they were getting $3,000 an eye to do LASIK surgery. The government's not involved in LASIK surgery at all. You can get your eyes done for $400 today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Started at $3,000 20 years ago, adjust that for inflation. It's like $8,000. And now you can get it done for $400. Where the government was not involved, the free market set the price for LASIK surgery, and you can walk in almost and get your eyes done if your eyes are qualified candidates. Free market worked inside the healthcare industry. It worked.
Right. That is a perfect example. And then another example of healthcare, and I love, love, love your example, is we happen to be a couple who are very blessed and able to afford some excellent private healthcare insurance. But we're also of an age where we have to have Medicare. Have to have Medicare. It was forced on us. So we have our little Medicare cards, and we don't use it. We use our private insurance. But the one time, in our 70-plus years, one of us had to check into a hospital. It happened to have been in November of 2020. One of us had COVID bad enough to go to the hospital. They insisted on using our Medicare, not our private insurance. So there you go. Government steps in, wastes money where it doesn't have to. So your example was great, but there's always the but with government.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always the but with government. And there are certain things that only the government can do. For example, field of military, law enforcement. There are certain things only government can do. But government is not very good at even doing that. They just do it. It's just better than nothing. They're the only ones that can do it. So, I mean, the military is inefficient. Law enforcement is inefficient. Government's not very good at doing things.
But what is your opinion on public education in government? Is that something government can only do? What's your opinion?
No, absolutely not. It's not. Listen, you want to know who runs a really, really good school? The Catholic Church.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
They run fantastically good schools. There are all kinds of ways to educate your kid. We in America, I'm running long here, Cindy, but I'm going to give you 20 seconds on this.
I'm sorry.
Okay. No, but that's not your fault. I'm the one that took the call, and I'm glad to have you here. Let me tell you, this country decided as a nation back in our founding that it was in the public interest to educate our children. Well, of course, duh, you got to educate our kids. And we set up a public education system that for the longest time was the envy of the world. We ran really good schools in America. I'm a product of public education. You know, we did a good job, but we screwed it up when we went much longer than we have time here. We created the Department of Education. Nothing has gone well since.
Government, get out. Get out of our consumer decisions. Get out.
And if you're going to have government schools, make sure they're run by government that's close to home. The Department of Education, the school performance, student performance in America has gone downhill every year since the creation of the Federal Department of Education. I'll just leave it at that. Cindy, appreciate your call. 866-660-5759. More of the Mark Davis Show coming up. Stay with us. Via the Patriot Mobile text line at 866-660-5759, we have this. Hey, Paul, glad you finally got on board with Trump 8 months before the general election after being a Trump critic all this time. Better late than never. Well, okay, let me just go over this one more time. Number one, you get on board after the primary is over when you've selected a nominee, and I'm on board. That's what the primary is for, is to consider all of those things and make a decision as to who your nominee should be based on your desire to win the general election, who best to win. I raised some concerns about Donald Trump that were valid concerns. I thought his presidency was a huge success. I was always on board on policy with Donald Trump. My only criticism of Donald Trump in his 4 years is I don't think he was as aggressive as he should have been on the federal debt and federal deficit. I think somebody's going to have to stop spending the money. And I hope if he wins in November, he will turn his attention to that. I'm a little bit critical of him on policy-wise on refusing to consider that Social Security and Medicare have got to have some changes made to him, or they're going to run out of money. So those are my only two. And those are not huge criticisms. Those are, by and large, I loved Trump's presidency. I thought he made some mistakes between Election Day and the day that the vote was certified in the Electoral College. I thought he made some mistakes, and I thought those mistakes could potentially cost us those incredibly important, in the middle, moderate, independent voters. But we as a party have made our decision. Donald Trump is our nominee. I am 100% on board, and I look forward to reinstatement of Trump policies, because Trump policies worked in term one, and Lord knows, given what we've had in the previous 3.25 years, Lord knows we need those policies back. 866-660-5759. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here at 660 AM, The Answer. Coming up on 9:37, Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here at 6:60 a.m. The Answer. I have a question for you. First of all, I've thrown the bonus question out this morning. If money is no object, you can do anything you want. Where are you going on summer vacation? But here's a deeper question. Did you read, when you were in school, George Orwell's novel written in 1949 called 1984? That novel is the one that gave us the pejorative term Big Brother. Big Brother in the pejorative sense, as in the evil thing that's looking over everything that you do. Big Brother as big government. American entrepreneur Gordon Bowker, he's one of the co-founders of Starbucks, perfectly defined the adjective that came from the book 1984. We say Orwellian. Orwellianism isn't just about big government, Gordon Bowker said. It's about authoritarianism coupled with lies. That absolutely applies to the left and the Biden administration and the radical Democratic Party as we see it now. The latest example, it comes from the Environmental Protection Agency. This past week, the EPA released a slew of incredibly strict automotive exhaust regulations that will have the effect of aggressively pushing the adoption of electric vehicles via the mechanism of regulating internal combustion vehicles out of existence. The stated goal is for EVs to comprise upwards of 70% of new vehicle sales by 2030, 6 years from now. That is driven by the Biden administration's climate fetish, the fixation that borders on being a fetish. We can't, you know, in the time we have here, we can't go into all the reasons that that a headlong mass conversion to EVs is a bad idea. The list is just too long. This headlong crazy rush to push us into electric vehicles. But the short list of reasons we don't want to be pushed into electric vehicles is that, one, they're too expensive for most people to buy, particularly in the absence of the individual federal tax credits that have propelled EV sales so far. The list includes the fact that the mining of the rare earth materials necessary for the making of EV batteries does enormous environmental damage. And it's EVs are a bad idea because of the fact that the U.S. power grid, as it currently sits, can't come close to having the capacity to charge millions of electric vehicles. There's simply not enough electrical capacity. Oh, what is it that's used to generate electricity? Oh, fossil fuels, majority. Fossil fuels. Coal and natural gas. The two things that are used most to drive the generation of electricity. And there's one more reason that EVs are a bad idea. Most of us don't want one. Most of us want the ease and the convenience of being able to get around in a gasoline-powered vehicle and to refuel in 5 minutes. Because it can take hours to charge your EV. Your EV doesn't work as well when it's cold, so you have less range. We like the fact that pretty much anywhere we go, we're not far from a place that we can get gasoline at any hour of the day or night, and we can do it in 5 minutes or less. That's why we don't want them. But you know, the whole thing about this headlong push into EVs, it's not really about EVs anyway. What it's really about, what we really are dealing with here, is who gets to decide how you live your life. And here's a hint. The left, the Biden administration, the left, the top Democrats, they don't think it's you that gets to decide, and they're not going to stop with cars. They're on, for you don't believe me, they're on to cows. Flatulent cows pass gas. Who knew? The enviros tell us that that methane that cows emit, by the way, we emit it too, they tell us that's destroying the climate. So don't be shocked when USDA regulations come along someday that regulate the production of beef into the scarcity driven by unaffordability, that you're just simply not as much beef on the market because the USDA has written regulations, just like the EPA has written regulations, designed to do something you never voted for, that never made its way through a ballot process, that never made its way through a congressional legislative process. Don't be surprised when the Department of Agriculture starts making it more expensive and more difficult to raise beef cattle, and all of a sudden you can't buy as much beef as you wanted to or as you used to. Don't be surprised when that happens. You don't think, or George Orwell's out there, you don't think Big Brother's watching? If you have a relatively new vehicle, I have a 2023 Acura TLX. Love the car. But I found out my car's talking to my cell phone. My cell phone knows where my car is. It knows how many miles it has on it. My cell phone knows how long it's going to be before I need to change the oil. It knows the tire pressure. If you think your car can't be tracked by the government, by regulators who want to regulate how you use your car and where you use it and what you do with it and where you go with it, if you think that can't happen, you're just wrong. Don't be surprised when one day you start getting punitively taxed based on your excessive mileage, excessive being defined as what the bureaucrats decide is excessive. If you drive too much, you're emitting too much, and you have to pay a higher tax. So if you have a long commute, or if you're a person who uses a vehicle to make your living, if you're out on the street all day, if you're using your vehicle in pursuit of your life, the bureaucrats will decide when you've used it enough. Here's a question for you. Have you installed one of those cool-looking smart thermostats in your home that you can control with your phone. Have you done that? Great. If you can control it with your phone, the government can control it. A government-regulated utility can control it from afar. Big Brother will decide for you if your house is cool enough. They'll decide when you've used enough air conditioning. They'll decide when you get to use air conditioning. If you don't think these things are possible, you're not paying attention. The left wants to control us, and they're going to... The electric vehicle thing is, if you don't see that for the camel's nose under the tent, you're not paying attention. They're gonna tell you what kind of vehicle you can drive. For me personally, an electric vehicle is absolutely unsuitable. I have a long commute. I have chosen that for a long list of reasons to have a long commute, but it was my choice. The left's mindset is, well, then you need to move closer to where it is that you have to go so that you won't have that long commute. You don't get to choose a long commute. This is the mindset of the people that want to control our lives. This is how they think. The Big Brother will tell you how to live. Orwellianism is a real thing. George Orwell wasn't an author. He wasn't a novelist. He was a prophet. These things are happening. And they're happening in real time in your life. And if you're not afraid of it, you're not paying attention. The fact that I went online yesterday looking for a piece of equipment that I need, a piece of audio equipment that I need, the next thing that I read on the internet, when I'm reading an article on my phone, there's ads for the competitors to the thing I was looking at. I'm being tracked. I'm being watched. Then there is, we have seen during the 2020 election, we have seen cooperation between the federal government and agencies of the federal government, the DOJ and the FBI. We have seen cooperation between the government and the big tech companies, Facebook, Google, Twitter at the time. We have seen what the government is willing to do in order to track us and push us to behave in a way that they, the government, bureaucrats, not even people you voted for, think you should live your life. These are the things that are on the line when you go to the ballot box. We have conservatives who believe that government should be as small as possible, consistent with maintaining the peace, regulating in an impartial way the conduct of business and commerce, and standing behind the currency. That is the real. Those are the three things that government has to do. We believe that and adjudicating disputes, impartially adjudicating disputes, that's what government should do. That's just about all it should do. They shouldn't be telling you what kind of car you drive. They shouldn't be telling you what you eat. They shouldn't be telling you how often you can flush your toilet. They shouldn't be telling you what kind of appliances you can have in your kitchen. The government shouldn't be telling you where you can live. The government shouldn't be, by using its coercive force, ordering your life in such a way as to suit people who are employees of the government, who are paid with your tax dollars, who don't even have to face the voters at the ballot box on a regular basis. This is what we're dealing with here. The founding fathers, if you do any reading on the Constitution at all, and by the way, I would invite you to go to ktbb.com/constitution. I produce on behalf of a really good statewide insurance brokerage company called Hibbs Hallmark & Company. They are the sponsor of a thing that I call the Constitution Minute. It is a biweekly digest of the American Constitution and how it was put together and why it was put together and what it is intended to do. And what it is intended to do at its core is limit the power of government. Limit the power, the ability of people in government using the power and police power of the government to control your life. The founding fathers were intensely distrustful of a large, powerful, centralized government. Over the ensuing 240 years, we have nearly half the country that believes that the government's job is to make their lives better. The half of the country I sit in believes that if the government that can provide you everything can take away everything. And that's what I believe, and that's why I vote the way I do. It's why I come on shows like this and talk the way I do. It's why I support the candidates that I support. I want the smallest government possible, consistent with maintaining the civil order and defending the shores. We want not one bit of government more than that. We don't want government providing us with our health care. We don't want government providing us with our food. We don't want government providing us with the means to make our daily living. We want the government as much as we can possibly get it so out of our lives. And the EPA is sticking its nose right into your life by telling you what kind of car you can drive and what is acceptable for your personal transportation. And let's don't have any illusions. The internal combustion engine, the automobile, the gasoline-powered vehicle, is an instrument of freedom. It made free movement possible on a mass basis. We weren't limited in range by how far our horse could take us in a day or our feet could take us. The car opened up an entire continent to where we could move around freely. Your vehicle is your freedom, and they are wanting to restrict your freedom by telling you what kind of vehicle it is suitable for you to buy. And there are some insurmountable laws of physics things attendant to electric vehicles. For some people, electric vehicles make perfect sense. God bless you. Go buy one. But I don't want that decision made for me. I want to make it myself. And it's not just about electric vehicles. It's about who gets to decide. And we became the most prosperous, most successful, most envied nation on earth by adopting a system of government and a system of society that put the decision as to who gets to decide into the hands of the sovereign individual and not in the hands of a centralized government. And that is pretty much what sets us apart from the world as we knew it prior to the United States and from most of human history. We ourselves are sovereign, and we get to decide. That's the magic of America. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here at 6:60 a.m. The Answer. It's 9:56. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis at 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Hey, listen, follow me every week in my weekly column, YouTellMeTexas.com. I say what's on my mind, and you reply with what's on yours. That's why we named it that, YouTellMeTexas.com. Breaking news, just hitting a few minutes ago. Prosecutors today have agreed to drop the securities fraud charges that have been pending against Attorney General Ken Paxton, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, for 9 years. If he agrees to perform 100 hours of community service, take 15 hours of advanced legal education courses, and pay restitution to quote, somewhere a little bit south of $300,000, according to the prosecutor, to those that he is alleged to have defrauded. He will not have to enter a plea. He does not have to say that he was guilty. The whole thing, after all these years, 9 years pending against the AG, the thing just kind of goes away. And that saved him facing decades in federal prison if he had been convicted. And just like that, out it goes with a whimper. Hey, thanks for being a part of the program today. Thank you for listening. I will be back tomorrow filling in for Mark. Be back tomorrow and Thursday. Meanwhile, it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful day today. Go make the most of it. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, producer Rhonda K. Moreland. God bless America. God bless Texas.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.